Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast, Mentoring and Disciple Making. It's impossible to do either without affording your mentee some risk. At some point, you have to actually let them do what you're teaching them, or your time together is only useless academic exercise. And that idea encapsulates today's episode of The Minister's Friend. I'm continuing my interview with Dr. Ken Castor, professor of youth ministries for Crown College in St. Bonifacius, Minnesota, and founder of the Next Ministry Conference, which equips volunteer church youth workers around the country for a greater kingdom impact. Today's segment was really an aha for me as Ken and I chatted together. If we want to not only disciple, but truly raise up the next generation powerfully for Christ, we have to employ some very intentional risk. Join Ken and I as he explains just what this means.
So I've just thrown out a whole fire hose of drama.
But this is so good, though. This is so good. And I keep coming back in my mind as you're talking about your comment about encouragement is to actually put courage into. If
right.
This is what they're facing, and you're saying the church is the best place it's equipped to put that courage in, and then also you're talking about the morality, I don't want to sound like a hardliner here, but the biblical absolutes, having some biblical standards that we can really put into their lives, this really does show the church is beautifully poised to really help this generation, but it's not happening.
It doesn't seem like it's happening.
Okay.
And we sometimes struggle to see what is actually happening.
Okay. All right.
Because when it happens, it happens so well. And it doesn't happen according to all of the old structures.
Okay. That's probably why I'm not seeing it, and some of the other pastors I'm talking to are not seeing it.
Right. And so we can't reach the next generation by using some of the old modern structures.
All right.
If that makes sense.
It does.
You know the story of David and Goliath.
Yeah.
And this is often referred to. It's a great example. David he's shocked by what he sees as a generation of people who aren't passionately following the Lord. It's like, how can you let this giant enemy threaten us and blaspheme the Lord? And David, as a young man, a teenager, is just beside himself. Like, you should be more passionate. So you can see his increasing moral drive within him. And he's looking around saying, why aren't you guys doing more? And we often hear that from young people today about the church. And the realization is, I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying that's often a passionate feeling that teenagers have.
Yep.
David had to work really hard through self-motivation to get to a place where he finally talked to Saul, because he had a lot of roadblocks in the way, including his own brother saying, what are you doing here? And he had to go through captains, and he had to go through this process. Eventually he gets to Saul. And Saul, for one reason or another, trusted the Lord and trusted David and gave him tremendous leadership opportunity. That is something that our churches don't like to do.
Okay.
Our churches struggle to give tremendous leadership opportunity. And what I mean by that is our churches struggle to give risk that is going to actually hurt the church if the teenager doesn't do well. Yep. You know what I mean?
I do.
We often think we give teenagers leadership, but what we've actually given them is a really protected environment where if something goes wrong, it won't hurt anybody, including the teenager. And that just doesn't develop somebody. So it's like driving a car. We can't we can't train a teenager how to drive a car unless we let them drive the car. That's risky. And sometimes it's terribly risky because you, as an older person, have to sit in the co-pilot seat next to them.
That's right. Three times I did that. Oh. Yep.
And you're pressing that pretend brake.
Yep.
In the co-pilot seat there.
And making sure the dashboard doesn't move.
That's right. But our churches struggle to give that kind of risky ownership of ministry to teenagers.
That's a wonderful illustration, Ken. It really is. That's a wonderful illustration. You know, and this really feeds into the next set of questions that I was going to ask, because my heart, and people who follow the podcast and people who know me that know this really is my heart, is really on disciple making. I think that the church for years has done a really good job of educating the facts, you know, kind of an information download, good theology, good doctrine, all, but there's a transformative component of disciple making I'm not sure the church has done well, at least the church in America. And so now we're really getting into that here. We're talking about what kinds of things do we need to do to have that kind of transformative influence and risk for this next generation?
That's a great question. And I think our current situation will highlight that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were talking about David and Goliath. One of the things that Saul did well, as he did many things unwell, he did one thing well. He finally let David lead in the way David had been called to lead. He tried to make David lead in the way that he had always led himself. Yeah. So David, here, I guess I'll let you lead, but here, wear all of my armor. And it made perfect sense. There was nothing wrong with Saul's armor. In fact, it was the best. They were the best fighting utensils for their day.
Yep.
David tried them on, and it's not that he was even unfamiliar with him. He already had somewhat of a relationship with Saul. In the chapter before, he had already been ministering to Saul. Hmm. There's a reference to David being Saul's armor bearer, whether that happened before then or not. David wouldn't have been unfamiliar with Saul's armor. What he was unfamiliar with was how to use this armor in a battle that it wasn't necessary for. Now, what David had been trained in and what he was good at was slinging some rocks at enemies and protecting the flock. And so David had killed bear and lion with a sling. And back in those days in Israel, John, you probably are familiar with this, shepherd boys were trained to sling these rocks almost like a gun firing a bullet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they could hit a bear in the middle of the head from 100 yards away to kill that charging bear before he could kill the sheep.
Yeah.
And so David's like, I can't use this armor. And Saul, to his credit, said, okay, what are you good at? David says, I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion. Let me go out there and kill this enemy of God. And so Saul let him do it. David picked up 5 smooth stones, and from a distance away, he slew the giant, right? Slayed the giant.
Yeah.
So, John, I think today our young people are trained in a way of operating in life that the rest of us haven't been trained in. Our young people know how to navigate a social distance world. They've already been doing it.
And just so everybody understands, because people may listen to this, you know, a year from now, we are recording this in the middle of the coronavirus crisis. So the social distancing thing is really fresh as we're talking about this. Go ahead.
It is. Well, and I would, you know, you and I, we're trying to play catch up. Like, how can we use current technology to still help the church meet together? Mm-hmm. How can we use current technology to still reach out to our neighbors and our friends? Mm. How can we get the word of God out? And my kids are looking at me going, well, we already do that. Like, we've already been doing that. Yeah. Why don't you ask us to take some leadership right now?
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ken, I mean, as you're saying this, in our house here, my wife and I have been, well, you've met Catherine. Catherine and I have been absolutely astounded. So my two daughters currently live with us. They're both going to UCF down the road. They're getting their master's degrees, helping to plant the church. It's great. I love having them home. Josiah and his wife, Sarah, live up in Minnesota. So they're, you know, 1,000 more miles away. As soon as this whole home sequester thing started, one night I come into the family room and here's my two daughters sitting in front of our television set. They are playing a video game with Josiah and Sarah, who are up in Minnesota. They're all on the same system together. And I'm thinking, you know what? They're going to be fine doing this whole social. It's us that are having the problem with it. And so it's just an illustration of exactly what you're saying. They already know how to do this stuff.
They do. My 14-year-old daughter, she has an account on Instagram. It's a meme account. For those of us who maybe aren't familiar with memes, memes are little pictures, like square pictures, and then you put bold lettering on them, and they show something witty and true that kind of shocks you when you look at it. And sometimes the lesson is really deep.
Yep.
So my daughter took about 30 seconds on Easter morning. And the challenge was for our family to come up with some Easter messages. So what sorts of things, how could we share with the world what happened on Easter? So my daughter takes about 30 seconds. She gets a picture of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh my.
And SpongeBob is starting to get out of his chair. So he's like half out of his chair. His arms are still on the armrests of the chair, but his body is lifting up out of the chair. And then she's put in bold lettering, Jesus on Easter. That's at the top of the meme. And on the bottom of the meme it says, I'm out of here. And so it's Jesus in the tomb saying, it's time for me to get out of here.
Yep.
And it was so funny because it's how we're all feeling during this sequestering time, this shelter in place. Yeah. We're all feeling stuck. And here's Jesus on Easter saying, all right, I'm out of here.
That's awesome.
And that was her way of communicating the gospel message in a quick, easy format. And it just blew me away yesterday. Mm. So I'm really excited about the ways that the next generation can use their five smooth stones and tackle some issues and problems that those of us from prior generations don't quite know, or we're playing catch up. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out what to do.
Let them lead as they've been called to lead. You know, every parent should understand this. At some point, our chicks have to take flight on their own and leave the nest. More than once, Catherine and I have talked about how pleased we are, and in some cases relieved, that all three of our kids are adulting well. The same principles that we use for raising our kids also apply to disciple-making and mentoring in the youth ministry of our local churches. We have to give them real ministry opportunities. As they grow in those opportunities, we need to give them real leadership opportunities. One of my mentors once told me that he begins looking for elder candidates already in middle school. They certainly don't serve in that particular role for many years, but they are identified and actively trained and empowered as they mature. As adults, and I know many of you who listen to this podcast are boomers like me, we need to realize that our youth are already better prepared for the world in which we live than we are. That doesn't mean that they don't need to be discipled, but it does mean that we can trust them and we can learn from them. They've been trained to live in this post-pandemic world. They do much better with social distancing than we do, and they already know how to use the technology that you and I are trying to understand. And they can and do use it for kingdom purposes. We need to lovingly embrace these realities, disciple these youth, and then give them real opportunities to serve and lead in the life and ministry of the church. That's when they're going to shine, and that's also the way that they're going to grow and become the godly women and men of virtue we so desire them to be. Next time, Ken asks the question, how can we give more risky leadership to the next generation? It might make us uncomfortable, but we've got to answer that question. That's coming up on The Minister's Friend. We are very grateful that you are in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders just like you to lead their congregations well. To that end, we have recently added a very special 12-episode podcast package to the Minister's Friend roster, Your Church and the Law. In it, we address the most significant legal issues facing local churches today with pastor and attorney David Bedanza. It's available on all the major podcast platforms, including both Apple and Android. Subscribe to The Minister's Friend, and you'll have access to the whole package. I'm so glad you're with us for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on The Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again, real soon.
You've been listening to The Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!